Welcome to the very sad Sunday night forecast. I'm only sad because the Niners couldn't cover 6.5. We're actually excited about this. This is the November 13th PFF forecast. We have a great show. Ben Brown is going to join us for the start. We're going to do a big takeaway from myself, Brad, and Ben. Talk maybe a little bit about a Monday night football play, and then we'll guess the week 11 lines with our good buddy Arjun. Let's rock. The intro still has Eric. Do we need to pay him royalties for that?
Someone needs to put on a cutoff shirt and, you know, up his Whitesnake vibe for the new intro.
Brad's the cutoff shirt guy for sure in this
I have a similar goatee. I think I have less of a gut. Same goatee, less of a gut, though.
I don't know. He's been on the rower. He's been on the rower a lot.
That's scary for me.
Anyways, it was fun to see Eric was on Twitter this evening, as he usually is. There was a lot to talk about in the NFL today. It was capped off, and I'll kick us off. So we're going to do our big takeaway, from this week. I'll just say what my runner up was, which, is that the Packers, I think, have gotten a lot of heat as of late, and deservedly so. But if they have a legit receiver, if Christian Watson is actually decent, like, they could still be a good team. And the NFC sucks. So, but that's not my big takeaway. My big takeaway is that the coach of the year should be, at this moment in time, Mike McDaniel. And the reason for this is a team and a quarterback who, I'll be very honest, I was going to write Tua off. I did not think he had it. And I don't know that I'm still necessarily a huge Tua fan, although he has played tremendously well. But I want to give credit to what that offense looks like. Obviously, having Waddle and Hill is absolutely amazing. But they have been so dynamic. If you look at the last 4 weeks, since week 6 or week 7 onward, they have been so explosive. 0.207 EPA per play. Only the Philadelphia Eagles better than them. They still have to play, obviously, on Monday night. But since Tua has been back, they have been absolutely phenomenal. And I want to give him one last shout out, which is he took the best running back from the San Francisco 49ers and has put Jeff Wilson Jr. In the spotlight. And he has not disappointed, had like 130 yards today, while Christian McCaffrey averaged like 2.7 yards per carry. So that was not me being bitter at all, but I really do think what the Dolphins have done is so impressive, and he deserves a ton of credit for what they've done over there, because it's really impressive. And I mean, obviously the Chiefs right now are the best in the AFC. The Bills look a little shaky with Josh Allen. I think you make a strong case that they're the second best team in the AFC right now. Brad, want to go to you. What was your big takeaway this week?
Real quick, just piggyback on you. The Dolphins did not punt today, and they have 2 punts in the last 3 weeks total, which is just a banana stat. And yes, they played the Bears and but anyway, just ridiculous. Mine is kind of a more macro level outlook, but you know, I think the next rule change that needs to happen in the NFL for, you know, everything's pro offense, for always trying to protect offenses, make things impossible on defenses. I think the next step is, we talk a lot about these spring leagues and how they can't find quarterbacks. They also can't find offensive linemen. And frankly, NFL teams can't find offensive linemen either. And we have these great edge rushers, these great interior defensive linemen now that can stress quarterbacks as pass rushers. Offensive holding being 10 yards, it kills too many drives. It kills it kills offense. I think they need to make holding a 5-yard penalty. I think that is the next frontier. That is the next frontier of just skewing this game towards points. Because without it, I mean, teams can't move the ball right now. And a holding ends drives. It's like a turnover at this point. It's kind of crazy.
Right. Would you get more holding calls?
Yo, for sure. No, guys would just sell out and just hold, which I think I'm still fine with.
I think there's holding on every play. I mean, that's the cliche.
Yeah.
But like, refs know they can't call on every play, right? But maybe if it was only 5 yards, they'd be like, you know what? Like, we're going to start calling it now. And it would happen really frequently. But it's a good point. I mean, a holding – this is one of the reasons, by the way. You want if you're a lover of the run game, this is like the thing you should be lobbying for, right? Because holding calls are one of the big kind of hidden pieces, along with sacks, I feel like, in why certain quarterbacks or the run game, for example, is not super efficient. That's really interesting.
Right.
Go ahead, Ben.
No, I was going to agree with you, honestly, because like the reason why like the second and 10 run play in some ways is so detrimental as well, right? Is because like you have the risk of the holding penalty and then you're in your second 20 and it's like the drive is completely busted or whatever. Right? And I do think that moving it to something else is kind of, I would say, I guess if you want more offensive scoring or whatever, and if you are a proponent of rushing the football, like, that is kind of the one hurdle right now. And I do think that if you kind of shifted that narrative, you know, it would change the calculation, at least as far as like how often teams should be running the football, for sure, in certain situations, right? So.
Yeah, that's good. Ben, what was your takeaway?
Yeah, so I might be siding too much with my guy Justin Jefferson right now, but I do think, and again, this is kind of, you know, Brad's, approach or idea as well. But like from a macro perspective, I think it's nearly impossible to, I would say, kind of construct a team that is capable of winning a Super Bowl with a guy, with a quarterback that is kind of being paid as like a top 15 type guy, veteran quarterback deal, if he's not generating like a top two or top three, you know, production from that quarterback position. I think like outside of nearly perfect conditions, I think that's kind of what, you know, Matthew Stafford got last year, had the best receiver in football, maybe one of, if not the best offensive lines in football, one of the best secondaries as well. If a guy is not getting that and is on a veteran deal, it's very hard for him outside of Patrick Mahomes, outside of Josh Allen, to, I would say, win Super Bowls. So if you are kind of building or constructing teams, I think you kind of need to, you know, cycle back to like George said earlier with Miami Dolphins specifically. Like, if you can get a guy like Tua on a rookie deal, if you can get a guy, you know, like Jalen Hurts on a rookie deal, you are so much better off set up to compete with some of these teams, I would say, with the Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen's, you know, at the NFL level. And I think we're seeing that kind of week in and week out. I think the whole season, you know, it's kind of been, you know, QB plays down. It isn't impacting, like, you know, week in and week out, you know, the performances of all these teams. But I think that, you know, once we get into the playoffs, you know, it's only going to be magnified, the quarterback play. And I think, you know, in some ways, you know, Justin Herbert didn't actually win this game outright, but the odds were obviously stacked to get him against him, 8.5 point underdog, you know, very much, I would say, was in line to beat a team that had, you know, an all-pro running back, an all-pro wide receiver, an all-pro tight end, and had Jimmy Garoppolo at the quarterback position. So I still think, you know, even though quarterback play might be down, we very much still have, you know, the makings of, you know, quarterback play, especially from a clean pocket, being by far and away the biggest driver. And I think if you can get that on a rookie deal, you're much better off, I would say, to win, you know, a potential Super Bowl, as opposed to retreating some of these veteran quarterback options that we continue to see week in and week out.
Let me pose this question really quick. Oh, real quick. Is Justin Jefferson the most valuable non-quarterback in the NFL right now?
I think he has to be, right? And I don't think it's all that close. And I think, you know, with him playing at the level that he is, like, I think it very much shows how impactful a wide receiver can be, you know, to a game. And I think it, you know, maybe in some ways is the second most impactful position, you know, that we see outside of quarterback, you know, week in and week out, I would say.
I would agree. You know, I think Tyreek Hill has made a claim for it in what he's put up. I have not seen, though, and Tyreek Hill is just wide open every play. So maybe it's a little less
different,
you know, like shocking, but I mean, it's so impressive, obviously, that he gets that open. I think a lot of that is certainly his ability, also the scheme. Kirk Cousins was just throwing it in Justin Jefferson's direction for the entirety of the fourth quarter. I mean, it was not like, hey man, I'm gonna throw you some dimes and, like, you know, we're gonna do this thing together. It was like, hey buddy, I'm just gonna put it up there, go get it. And I mean, the fourth and 18 was, I think, the best catch I've ever seen. You know, I rewatched the OBJ catch a few times. Every time I watch that catch, I'm more impressed by it, to be perfectly honest. Like, it is ridiculous how crazy that catch is. And I actually don't think it's clear cut. It's kind of a tangent. Everyone was saying like, oh yeah, it's 4th and 18. So like that play is way more impressive. And like, it's definitely Justin Jefferson. There was a little bit of like, he catches with one hand, but he also has the fact that the defender is there to kind of help him keep the, now that people are like, oh, it's tough. It helps him keep the ball in. I'm not like making excuses for it, but like OBJ it's just like three fingers. Okay. So I want people to chill out a little bit before that. I think he's the most valuable non quarterback. And it actually is interesting because you go back and obviously they played the Bills, and Stephon Diggs had one of the better catches I've seen this year with the one-handed snag just out of the air. No one was talking about that play, obviously, at the end. It is really interesting to think about, though, what would Justin Jefferson look like with Josh Allen? What would they be able to do with some of that money? It's interesting because everyone assumes, oh, no, both teams really like that trade and I love Stephon Diggs. But it is an interesting thought experiment, and it's one of the reasons that, generally trading draft picks is not a good thing. Now, would they have selected Justin Jefferson? Who knows? But Brad, I assume you think that Jefferson is the most valuable.
Yeah, I do. I think you nailed it right there. Like, we haven't even seen him play. And Kirk did have the one throw on the goal line right before they scored was a dime from Kirk. But I mean, a lot of it was Justin Jefferson. But yeah, no, I do. I think he is. And then, yeah, you add in the contract. But if you're talking about value, I don't even think it's a question because he's on a rookie deal as opposed to, Diggs making $25 million a year.
It's so impressive to see some of these young guys. I mean, you have Ja'Marr Chase. Obviously, the Bengals didn't play this week, and he's been a little banged up. But some of the guys that have come out, it was only a few years back when people were saying you can't draft receivers in the first round because, they're all busts. And it's like, with how valuable receivers are nowadays, it's like you're almost like you're an idiot if you don't take one of these guys in the first round because they're dominant and they're coming in. And that's such a huge, I mean, if you're paying Tyreek Hill and Devontae Adams $30 million a year, I mean, that's like, it's not quarterback money because quarterbacks are making, 45, 50, but that is insane. I mean, that is a ridiculous amount of money. So you're getting a huge deal if you get one of those good players on a rookie deal. Let me ask you guys this, because there were some older quarterbacks, as I mentioned earlier, that came out and played well. Tom Brady and the Bucks in Germany. He's got to figure it out now because that FTX investment is not going to come through for him. And Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Are you guys buying both, selling both, or is one particularly impressive and the other isn't? I'll start with you, Ben.
Yeah, I think I'm going to stick to where I was at last week. I do think the Buccaneers are very much like legitimate contenders in the NFC still. Maybe they don't have enough, I would say horses to kind of compete with the top end of the NFC at the end of the day. But I think that where I thought the NFC was kind of going to land with, a really dominant 49ers and Cowboys performance, which we did not actually see in week 10, I think the Buccaneers are still very much there. So I'm kind of buying into Tampa Bay figuring it out, having enough, both in their secondary and along, from an offensive production standpoint, to potentially knock off anybody in the NFC. But I'm still solid in the Green Bay Packers. I think this was maybe, nothing more than a little bit of a revenge game, from Mike McCarthy's perspective. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers wanted this one bad, but if he wants it next week and the week after, maybe I can adjust my priors a little bit. But for right now, I'm still very much in the camp that the Packers are very much, I would say, outside looking in the NFC right now.
I'm buying the Bucks. I think we talked about this a little bit, but I think their approach to Julio Jones was different and better than a lot of teams that tried to get guys back. I mean, Keenan Allen not playing in this game tonight, probably a game defining. There's a lot of teams trying to rush these players back, and they just kept him on the shelf forever. Had that great touchdown today. As for the Packers, not buying long term, but I know there's a message in the chat the opposite. I am betting Green Bay. I don't even know what the line is. I'm betting Green Bay against Tennessee on Thursday. Sight unseen, whatever the spread is, I am taking Green Bay. I think this was like a turn the season around type of win. Come playoff time, they're going to fall up short. But I already, like I said, I'll bet it as soon as they put it on any sports book I can find.
I'm weirdly with you, Brad. It actually started for me. I bet them against the Bills Sunday night. And that was a game where they should have come out and just gotten torched. I mean, they should have got the doors blown off and given up, and the season should have been over. And they covered in that game. They played hard. And I said this last week, the difference to me is that I do think Aaron Rodgers and LaFleur get along. And I think that's keeping them together. Like, if that was Mike McCarthy coaching, and I like Mike McCarthy, but like, if that was Mike McCarthy coaching, this thing would be over. And it's not. And look, I'm not going to overreact to Christian Watson. I saw a tweet that was like, the only player with a better athletic profile in the last 30 years is Calvin Johnson. And I almost threw my phone out the window. I was like, we need to relax a little bit. But he doesn't have to be Calvin Johnson. He just has to be serviceable. Like, the guy was literally, it was funny. Mike Renner tweeted this out, that Christian Watson had four targets past the sticks, like midway through this game. And three of them had been drops. And then, of course, he like comes alive in this game. He doesn't have to be great. He just has to be like actually targetable. And that offense makes a huge jump in the right direction. Now, whether David Bakhtiari can actually, you know, get back and play serviceable. I didn't realize, by the way, that he went to Sarah in the Bay Area. She found that out in the Sunday night game. So I'm buying, actually, in the NFC. Someone pointed this out in the chat. Patrick pointed this out. The NFC sucks. I'm buying the Packers in the NFC. And the Bucs, I buy Tom Brady playing well because he's played well all season. In that game, they won the game. That was some of the worst strategy play calling. It's so bad. It is so, so bad. I mean, everyone's making fun, and rightfully so, of the pass out to Tom Brady, you know, on the left side, which was horrible, obviously, from a strategic standpoint. But they just continue. I mean, and they're drinking their own Kool-Aid. It was interesting listening to the commentators. Like, see, this is what you got to do. You can't have Tom Brady throw the ball 40 times. You got to run the ball. They've run the ball 38 times in this game, and look at the score. It's like, you know, if you're gonna, if that's the way that you believe football is played, then you're just not gonna win the game. So, I guess I'm buying the Packers and I'm selling the Bucs, even though I'm buying Tom Brady figuring it out. Have you guys, we'll get out of here on this. I'm just curious. I've been consuming this story way more than I thought I would. Have you guys been following this FTX like debacle and crypto stuff? Like,
deep in the weeds of Sam Bankman-Fried, deep in the weeds. I know he flew to Argentina yesterday, so who knows where he is right now. But the fact that he was like funneling billions of dollars to his 28-year-old girlfriend, who was like, the whole thing is absolutely bananas. It's an all timer. And then I saw too, the new CEO or the fill in interim CEO is the same guy who took over Enron for Enron. Like, it's one of the funniest stories I think in a while. Yeah, it's incredible.
Oh my goodness, it really is breathtaking. What about you, Ben?
I would say I'm only tracking it as much as Josh Hermsmeyer's tweeting out updates for me, okay, and then I can like read them really quick and then I'll get them. So I gotta throw him a couple likes because he has been, I would say, nuts on the crypto market for the last like 3 years or whatever. Mm-hmm. It was probably like the first one that like, because I mean, I think, you know, like anybody else, I obviously like looked into it or whatever and had like maybe some initial opinions on it, but it was like, it's just rife with fraud, right? And I think that Josh Hermsmeyer, you know, for all the flack that he's getting on Twitter or whatever, was very much, I would say, nuts on the crypto market. And I think that we're only going to see that play out any further. So any advice I'm taking right now from the crypto market is only coming from our Air Yards King, I would say, for sure. So,
so I found out today that Michael Lewis has been with Sam Bakeman-Fried for the past 6 months.
I did see that.
And I just want to know if Michael Lewis is like, was God like, look, I need something good to watch on TV. I need a good book to read. Michael Lewis, you're going to go hang out with this whack job. There are so many components to this story. It's unbelievable. But I'm not going to go into it here. There's obviously, I've listened to a bunch of good there's a good podcast, the All In podcast, where they dive into it. And they have Brian Armstrong, who's the CEO of Coinbase, who comes on and talks about it. He says some interesting things. I read an hour-long read last night. This is the last thing I'll say on this. If you want to laugh really, really hard, Sequoia Capital, which is a venture capital firm, did this like piece on SPF. They invested in him. And it is one of the funniest things. It is an, I shit you not, it is an hour long estimated read time. And it is pure comedy. We have Monday Night Football tomorrow. Ben, what is your, before we get you out of here, do you have any plays for Commanders Eagles that you really like?
I mean, I would say not a whole lot, to be honest. We have a lot of unders, a lot of player prop unders. I think if you're gonna watch this game and you really want to sweat, Taylor Heinicke under 0.5 passing touchdowns, like a +190 plus price, +185, highest value in the player props tool at pff.com. I mean, if you're watching this entire game, you want to sweat. That's going to be a sweat the entire game. I'll tell you that much right now. So I would take that one. If not, you know, maybe watch a crypto documentary or something like that and get out, yeah, and maybe make one with the family or something like that. Right. So that's the only other option you got on
Monday. Oh my God. I listened to another podcast where they called SBF. They said they likened him to Jeff Bezos starting Amazon, which was the most disrespectful thing I've ever heard. It was absurd. There's nothing like a Heinicke sweat. I feel like the Heinicke sweat is similar to like trying to get your money out of a crypto exchange right now. Ben, we appreciate you hanging out with us.
I got to leave on that.
Have a great one. We love you. Thanks for hanging out. Go follow Ben, PFF _ Ben Brown. Drops knowledge on you every single day, and you will not be disappointed. Before we get to the week 11, guess the lines. Quick reminder, you can go download, and you should, the PFF app right now. Go search PFF in the iOS App Store. New features getting added all the time. A couple new ones that are on there. You can now bookmark your favorite piece of content. That means Brad's great stuff and Ben's and Arjun's, all that. You can go save it so you can check back on it whenever you need to before games starting, whatever it is, you can place your picks. Plus, you can now place your bets straight into FanDuel. We added all of those lines so you can see FanDuel and BetMGM lines in there right now. So go download the app and get rocking with us. Also, Underdog Fantasy. I know that it seems like Underdog and Fantasy is meant to be played at the beginning of the season, but Underdog knows that sometimes your season ends a little too prematurely, and so they've got you hooked up with a pick'em game. All you have to do is guess higher or lower than the total number for a player. Player stats, and you can win up to 20 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players in your pick'em entry, get all your picks right, and you'll be taking home some cold hard cash. Use promo code PFF when you download the Underdog app or go to underdogfantasy.com, and they will double your first deposit of up to $100. It's a really good freaking deal, so use promo code PFF and get into the action today. Last but not least, our friends at Western and Southern. Now is a good time to get your money right. So go to Western and Southern Financial Group, westernsouthern.com/PFF. They can help you with anything that you're looking to do. You're trying to buy a home. I saw this today. It is right now the worst time to buy a home in the last like 40 years. So maybe you're not planning to buy a home right now, but you want to buy one at some point. You should plan for it. If you're starting a family, trying to figure out how to make your money grow, get some life insurance. These times are a little tricky. So go to westernsouthern.com/PFF and get yourself figured out for the road ahead. All right. Arjun is joining us. I think he's going to show up here in a second. There he is. Arjun, that's a lovely hat. How did you finagle Kyle Shanahan acting like a complete you-know-what and Robbie Gould blowing a PAT? That was brutal to watch.
Yeah, I know. I feel really bad for the printing press. Feel especially bad for you guys who got 6.5 last Sunday night when, you know, I was able to snag some 4.5 mid Sunday. So I was definitely happy with the field goal attempt, but at the time I was kind of just rooting for the Niners to score a touchdown for Niners to potentially cover and Chargers to have a chance to, you know, maybe come back. But yeah, just a brutal beat all around, and you know, Kyle Shanahan and game management is just another journey.
It almost felt as though, you know, the Niners were like, "Look, we can win this game in our sleep." Kind of, they made some boneheaded errors. They didn't need to. They didn't go for fourth downs, but I was just stunned by how uncreative the offense was. Like, if it wasn't for Jimmy G balling out on third down, Chargers would have won that game. If you're going to trade your entire draft class for CMC, don't you have to like put together some plays to show them off? Is that like not a rule?
Yeah.
Let's get to the week 11 games. As we do every single week, we are going to guess the lines, and then we're going to look at what the actual line is, and then we're going to decide whether we're going to bet that game. And then we're going to, at the end of this, come together and decide on our favorite ones. We'll write those up. So last week, we had some, I guess it was middling to say it best. I think I went 3-3. I still have a bet with Washington and Philly, with Philly first half. Arjun, we all, it's a squad ride for us. And Brad and Arjun, you guys are below 500, which means, I think it's your guys' first below 500 week since we started doing this. Is that right, Brad?
You hate to see it. Yeah, I'm tilting. If you asked my takeaway for the bets earlier with Ben, mine would have been, if I still drank a couple barley pops on Sundays like I did before I was a host of this podcast, I would have been firing off some tweets that would have had me talking to PFFHR on Monday. So thankfully that didn't happen, but a tough week 8. We're going to bounce back though.
All right, so I'm in the lead here. I've got 19 wins, 19, 12, and 1. Brad is 18, 15, and 2. And Arjun, you are 17, 12, and 2. And as I said, we all have Philly first half tomorrow. So week 11, Thursday night, Tennessee, Green Bay. Arjun, kick us off.
I got Packers minus 2.
Got Packers minus 2.5.
I have, let me grab my sheet here. I have Packers minus 2.5 as well. I thought that's what it would be. Let me pull these up here.
That's what it is on BetMGM. So
yeah, that is what it is. Arjun, what are you doing with this one?
It's a tough one because I think like Packers showed a little bit of resiliency in this game. They're gonna be at home, short week. Titans were really banged up heading into the Broncos game, but I don't know. I'm really scared of Derrick Henry versus this Packers rush defense, which even though the Packers won, Cowboys still average a 0.15 EPA per rush on all plays, a 0.06 EPA per rush on early downs, 48% success rate. I mean, this Packers run defense is still not fixed, and you know Derrick Henry is one of the best running backs to take advantage of that. So just going to lay off for now.
So I said it before. I'm sticking with it. I am taking the Packers minus 2.5. I think it's my first Thursday night bet on here. Henry did leave the game today. I think he came back, but he's not 100%. They also didn't have Jeffrey Simmons today. No Bud Dupree today. I thought it was going to matter. Russell Wilson is just that bad. And Nathaniel Hackett and Josh McDaniels in a race to the bottom. Who can be the worst coach in the AFC West? So it didn't matter this week. But, yeah, I love Green Bay minus 2.5 in this spot. I think it's just simple, you know, short week, simple game plan, simple execution, and I'm taking Green Bay here.
Yeah, I think I want to ride with you here, Brad. Even though I kind of guess this one on the nose, total is 40.5, which so it's going to be really cold. It looks like it could be a little windy, so I can understand that. I do, even though the Titans offense was kind of pathetic today, they played a good Denver Broncos defense in Ryan Tannehill's first game back. So I like over 40.5. I think I'm gonna bet this one. Packers minus 2.5. I also like the over, and I will probably bet that as well. Chicago, Atlanta. In Atlanta, Arjun.
I made this Chicago plus 2.
I got Atlanta laying 1.5.
I have Atlanta by 1. It is Atlanta by 3. Atlanta minus 3. Wow. Yeah.
That is a bet for me for sure. I mean, I might be buying Fields at the top of his market, but
you are.
I mean, he's improved so much. Like we're seeing a progression from him that, you know, we kind of always wanted to see. He's using his legs more and more. The Falcons with Dean Pease running that cover 2 defense, like they're going to let you kind of run the ball. And I think I'm not scared at all of their defensive line. And I think the Bears rush game should have some success against this Falcons team. You know, Deontay Foreman had, you know, a pretty good game, I think over 100 yards on Thursday night. So I really like the Bears in the spot. I'm curious what the over-under is because the over might be a play as well.
9.5, so it's high.
Okay.
I'll jump in. I'm taking it as well. I'm hopping on another one. I'm also probably buying high on the Fields market, but I think the takeaway today is outside of a bad pick six, Jeffrey Okuda, no question about it. Fields made a lot of nice throws today. There was one play, his fourth read was Darnell Mooney. He fit a nice ball in. He had a couple other nice throws throughout the game. Some not simple, not one read, not busted coverage, like legitimately good passing plays throughout the game today. Yes, it's the Detroit Lions, but nevertheless, Atlanta played on Thursday. They're just a bad football team. They're not going to get a lot of pass rush on field, so he'll have some more time back there. The only reason I like the over, because I agree, both offenses should score a ton, but they're both going to run the ball 50 times, and that might burn a lot of clock is the one concern there.
Since week 7, Chicago is 7th in the NFL in EPA per play. Top only teams that are better, Philly, Miami, Cincinnati, Kansas City, Dallas, and San Francisco. Is this not going to be Desmond Ridder?
It should be. It really, really should be.
Are we really not rolling with Desmond Ridder yet?
And that would make me more scared. I would like it less if it is Ridder.
Yeah, it makes no sense. I out of principle, have to take Chicago here. Even though I do feel a little weird about it. I mean, Atlanta's getting the long rest. Obviously, that's one of the reasons that this is 3, I believe. And Chicago lost to Detroit today. That can't be Detroit is not a good team either. But if I'm getting 3, I'll take Chicago. Cleveland, Buffalo. In Buffalo, I will raise my hand. I bet the Browns plus 3.5 today. And they scored an opening touchdown and then had absolutely no shot. Arjun, what are you making this?
Yeah, I was with you, George. I feel like an absolute square for taking the Browns there. But I have Browns plus 7 in this game.
I got the Bills laying 7.5.
Wow, I'm Bills by 8.5. So let's see here. It is Bills by 8.5. I thought I was worried maybe Allen's elbow wasn't going to be in good shape. I think really the problem was that he just made some really bad throws. And I watched that game pretty closely. I think everyone's going to remember the craziness at the end. The Bills should have covered 5.5, 6.5 in that game. That was nowhere near being close. And the Bills are driving down the field and Allen throws a horrible interception. So I'm gonna fade that noise. And that's why I have it 8.5, which is where the market is at. Arjun, what are you doing with this? Are you betting Cleveland again?
No. I know I should be betting Cleveland if I have them plus 7, but I mean, it's just like the Browns offense just makes no sense sometimes. Like they'll have these spurts of being good versus being bad. I think I made this plus 7 because the Browns rush defense is legitimately has a case to be the worst in the NFL. But the Bills average a negative 0.59 EPA per rush today versus the Vikings who play the lightest box counts of any team in the league on early down. So it's not like the Bills rushing attack is going to take advantage of a poor Cleveland rushing defense. But I mean, I don't feel comfortable backing this Browns D at all against Josh Allen, who he might have had his moments, but still kind of took threw his way down the field for the majority of the game.
My guy Ed Donatel just refuses to put anyone in the box. I'm not taking it either. I think Allen's health is fine. It was just boneheaded decisions. But like you said, George, I was sitting there. I had 7.5 and 7 tickets for the Vikings and felt like a genius because of the news and everything that came out. And then in the first half, I was like, those are losers. Get rid of those tickets. And somehow they somehow, as always, came back to win. Only the interception, but also, fumbling the snap on their own half-yard line. I will say, though, I saw a discussion of they should have taken a safety. That made no sense. There was 45 seconds left on the clock. You would have been punting to Minnesota with down 2 or up 2, and they had all their timeouts. So they should not have taken a safety there, but nevertheless, I'm laying off. But I think Buffalo, it's not as bad of a loss as it looked.
Are you guys worried at all about Buffalo's offense?
I think they need another receiver. I've been saying it for weeks now. Yeah. I've been saying it every podcast in the world. And Gabe Davis was okay today, even though also Gabe Davis dropped that ball that they tied the game up on. That was not a catch. But, yeah, they don't have enough receiver. They need a third legitimate option. They don't have it, and they need it.
Yeah, I'm with you, Brad. On my own podcast with, you know, Tage Seth, who comes on every Wednesday, I talked about how my biggest takeaway from Bills Jets was the Bills don't have a third receiver, especially with Jameson Crowder out. And I think, you know, it wasn't on full display today because, you know, Diggs had his revenge game. But I think when it comes to the playoffs and teams are going to, you know, have a full week to just fully game plan against the Bills, I think that could come back to haunt them.
Since week seven, second half of the season so far, so week six onward, they are dead average in EPA per play. Dead average. Negative EPA per play. Look, I know I'm choosing a random, you know, point, but the top teams are the top teams there. Kansas City, Philly, Cincy, Miami, like those teams consistently are at the top. And I think that the big difference right now is Kansas City is so consistent. Relatively, I feel like Buffalo has become almost what we thought what Kansas City used to be, which is a lot of inconsistency, weirdly. But I'm not worried about it. I still think they should have covered that game. And Allen made a couple of boneheaded plays. He's not quite Mahomes yet, but then again. All right, next up, we have Philly Indy, Jeff Saturday. McDaniels has to be gone after this, right, Brad?
You have to. We talked about Frank Reich last week. I don't know how you go back to that locker room if you're Mike or Josh McDaniels. I mean, just pathetic.
But at the same time, okay, at the same time, Ursay claims he knows how to build football teams. If he knew how to build football teams, he would not have let Matt Ryan take the field today. Okay, because there's some good quarterbacks in this draft class, and somehow Matt Ryan had a 38-yard rushing attempt. I scramble. So that's going to take a quarterback potentially out of the way. Arjun, what'd you make this?
I made this Eagles -8.
Yeah, I had Indy +8.5.
Wow. Okay. I think you guys are probably going to be right. I have Eagles -10.5. I am not buying the Fighting Jeff Saturdays. It is 8.5, at least on FanDuel. You doing anything with this, Arjun?
Well, I haven't seen the Eagles yet, you know, because they play on Monday night, but I feel like this is going back to our Eagles first half. I mean, legitimately, the Colts are the worst first half team in the NFL right now. And obviously, like, you know, the Raiders didn't do what they needed to do, but the Colts ranked dead last in EPA per play on offense in the first half, like very bad on scripted plays. We know how the Eagles are in the first half. Like, Colts are just a below average team in the first half. And I think, you know, depending on how they look tomorrow, this will probably be a system Eagles first half play for me, up to like -5, -5.5.
I'm afraid of this one. I mean, Gus Bradley plays his, obviously, you know, cover one, cover three more than anyone in the entire league, but their defense is legit. I mean, also, I don't know why teams are throwing at Stephon Gilmore in high leverage situations. Shout out Russ Wilson again. But even today, you know, with Davante Adams, who had a good game today, but at the end of the game, I mean, yes, they had nobody else to receive, but why are you targeting Stephon Gilmore to try to win the game? But yeah, their defense is legit. And I think playing a ton of single high, maybe loading some boxes. Bobby Okereke has been a force this year. I don't love the matchup for Philly. You know, they could blow them out. It's the Colts. It's Jeff Saturday. But I'm not comfortable laying 8.5 on the road just because I think Philly wins. But if it's by less than 8.5, I wouldn't be surprised because the Colts defense is really, really good.
Matt, so one of the reasons that I bet the Colts today, and one of the reasons I bet the Colts today was because I thought either Matt Ryan was going to play or Matt Ryan was going to call the plays. And either way, whether he played or whether he was not playing, he was going to call the plays. And that is probably a good outcome. Matt Ryan is a smart guy. He's played quarterback in this league forever, has been extremely successful. And is, you know, clearly going to have the best command of that offense of anyone else. And I could see the team really rallying around that. So I'm, even though I have this at 10.5, I'm going to respect the market a little bit here. And I'm not going to bet this one. New York Jets go to New England to play the Patriots, a rematch from a couple of weeks ago where Matt Jones threw one of the worst pick sixes you will ever see, got called back for one of the worst roughing the passers you will ever see. That ended up giving the Patriots an opportunity to capitalize on Zach Wilson being awful to end up covering that game. But I don't know that they deserve to. this one now in New England. Arjun, what are you making this?
I have this Jets plus 3.
Same here.
I have Jets plus 3.5, actually. And it looks like it is Pats minus 3.5, minus 115, interestingly. So 3.5. Arjun, what are you doing with this?
Yeah, this is an interesting one, right? Because I think we look back to the Jets and the Patriots before their bye week. Jets somewhat convincing win against the Bills, kind of shut down Josh Allen. And then Patriots beat up on a really bad Colts team starting Sam Ellinger, right? So, like, we learned more about the Jets in that game than we learned about the Patriots. Now, I mean, Jets kind of look legit. Their defense is, in my opinion, a top five defense in this league. Patriots, I think, are fine, but, you know, they're still, I think, a little bit top heavy and they can get exposed in the back end. So I don't know. Like, I don't feel comfortable betting the Jets because of the Belichick versus young quarterbacks angle. Zach Wilson still struggles versus Bill Belichick, but I don't know. This is a very tough one. I'm curious to hear what you guys do with it.
I want to bet the Jets so bad. Like, I really do. But again, Bill Belichick off a bye week. I mean, they're both off a bye week, I suppose. But, and yeah, you mentioned the game. I mean, Mac Jones gets the bailout call there. Wilson quite literally cannot play worse than he played the first time around. And it was a five-point win for the Patriots. Like, it's taking everything in me not to bet the Jets. I'm not going to, but that is a strong, strong lean, you know, if I had to pick a side.
Total in this game is 39.5. Since week 6, the two worst teams in expected points added per play are the New York Jets and the New England Patriots. Both these teams suck. I actually think I would, if I had to bet this game, and I'm not, thankfully I guess this one cracks, so I can wave the white flag. But I think the Jets are the right side, and it really comes down to, can they take the ball out of Zach Wilson's hands enough to keep this game close, right? Because if you ask Zach Wilson to throw it, they will lose. But the same is true of the Patriots, interestingly, right? So it really, to me, just seems like, you know, one of these like 10-7 games. So you might want to snag 39.5. I have no idea what the weather will be like, but go check your weather app and that might be a play. We go now to New Orleans. Brad, I bet the freaking Saints this week in the circa millions. We thought it would be an unpopular play. It was, and rightfully so, because they sucked. 1 p.m., Andy Dalton gave all his superpowers to 1 p.m., Kirk Cousins, and was unable to beat Kenny Pickett. They host the Los Angeles Rams in a rematch, which seems like a long, long time ago, of the worst pass interference or non-pass interference call in human history. Arjun, what are you making this?
I have the Saints minus 1.
Yeah, I had Saints minus 1.5.
I have Saints minus 1.5 as well. And I am seeing Saints minus 3. So is this Stafford's going to be back, though, yeah?
This is Cooper Kupp, I think. I don't think Kupp plays this week, and I think that's where it's coming from.
Wow. So that, what do you think this was without – what do you guys think this would be if Kupp was healthy then?
I think we were probably pretty close. I think he's worth 1.5, 2 points.
He's definitely worth at least one spread point. I think Ben Brown calculated that, and he was close to like probably like 0.8, 0.9, and if you just round up, I think it was close to 1.
Yeah, they have nobody else, right? So Stafford's going to come out there. Who's he going to throw the ball to? Because he's sure as hell won't be Allen Robinson. Ben Skoronek's going to get 15 targets.
Skoronek over receptions, lock of the week.
Yeah.
Arjun, you betting this one?
No, and I just want to say, like, I think going forward, like, I think, like, the Cardinals, Rams game, right? I took the Cardinals pregame, like money line plus 3.5, plus 4.5, plus 6.5 live. Like, the drop off from Stafford to Wolford is so much bigger than Kyler to Colt. Like, Stafford, you know, he's been having a pretty bad year statistically, but he can make plays out of nothing that Wolford can. And I mean, I wasn't really watching that game because I didn't really want to watch two backup quarterbacks. But from the TL, it did seem like Wolford was missing high, missing low, and he just wasn't a good quarterback today. But yeah, sorry, going back to this game, laying off, I just don't think the Saints are bettable right now.
No, they're definitely not. I will say if famous Jameis gets in the mix, maybe I'm intrigued to bet this thing because I think this is like a high variance potential game where that could decide it. All that being said, I like the under 40.5. I just pulled it up. Like I don't hate that play at all. Both defenses playing good football. The Saints put their center Eric McCoy on IR before the game today, so Aaron Donald could feast. They're already without Andres Pete, although that might not be that big of a negative. But, the under I think is interesting here, if anything.
Such a weird spot for the Rams, right? Because they're in a crappy division. It doesn't look like Cooper Kupp is going to be out for the year. So maybe they could, turn this thing around at some point here. But the idea that a really bad offense is going to somehow be decent on the road without their best receiver by 100 miles is a lot. So I'm going to lay off here, but I could see a case to be made for New Orleans, certainly. Detroit and the New York Football Giants, winners again. They beat the Houston Texans. Houston actually got a lot of love. It was 6.5, got bet up. I want to say it closed 4, 4.5, put up a valiant effort, but could not get the cover done. Arjun, what do you make this?
I have this Lions +3.
I had New York laying 4.
I have the New York Giants -3.5. It is New York -3.5, -114 on FanDuel. Lions +3.5, -106. Archie, what are you doing with this?
I'm not going to bet this one. I'm just curious to hear what line does Saquon rushing overs or rushing line open up at?
105.5.
Yeah, three digits. I think it starts with a one, sure.
100.5.
Yeah. Lions run defense just didn't look like it knew how to stop a zone read today. And it was just like, I'm just scared to see what Daniel Jones and Saquon do to this rushing defense next week.
Yeah, I mean, Fields had 47 rushing yards on the first drive of the game, and then him and Herbert just kept feeding. Another interesting one, I probably say this about the Giants every week, but the Texans, as bad as they are, they had five red zone trips, and I think scored 6 total points with 2 field goals on those 5 red zone trips. Like, they were moving the ball against the Giants to a degree. There were some penalties that kind of helped them throughout the process, and then they kicked some field goals at the end because they thought they were going to go onside with 7 seconds left. Yeah, if you can't tell, I did bet the Texans +6. I was hoping they would just try to score a touchdown. But anyways, the Giants are just not a good football team. But I agree. I think Saquon and Daniel Jones could combine for 200-plus rushing yards. But that doesn't make me think they're going to cover over a field goal. I think they're going to win another one-score game as they keep doing.
I think this probably gets out to 4. I think at 4, I would take Detroit. The Giants have, I think, been trailing in every single game that they've played. Houston was able to stick in it despite being just god awful all day. I mean, Davis Mills on the road is terrible. So, I think you could make a claim there. I'm not going to bet it right now though. Carolina, Baltimore in Baltimore, Arjun.
I made this Ravens -11.5.
Yeah, I had Ravens -10.5.
Yeah, I went with Ravens -10.5 as well. And I actually thought I would be a little steep there, but I'm not. It is Ravens -12.5. Arjun?
No, I'm we're short on the Ravens, it seems, but I'm not. I mean, you think I'm betting PJ Walker against Lamar Jackson? I think I'm too smart for that. So I'm just laying off this game. I think 11.5 is a lot of points for the Ravens though, and they seem like the type to let a team backdoor cover.
I totally agree with you there. Actually, I'm with you, George. I thought I was going to be over, and it was going to land like 8.5 or 9.5, something like that. But I'm with you. They still obviously don't have many passing weapons. Mark Andrews might play in this game, but not sure. Carolina sneaky awful on defense the last 5 weeks, though, even though they've won some games. Third worst EPA per play on defense on first and second down, which kind of was all they really had before. And the Ravens tackles have played so well that I think they're going to neutralize Brian Burns to a degree. I mean, Ronnie Stanley coming off the injury has been like Ronnie Stanley. It's been cool to see. I'm not laying 12.5 points on a team that, just not have receiving weapons. And my guy, PJ Walker, no faith in PJ Walker.
I do have faith in PJ Walker. I do. And I
pull the trig.
I'm going to bet this one. I'm going to put this one down. The Baltimore Ravens are a really good football team. But they're not in this NFL. I just think there's way more, everyone's way closer to the mean. And, you know, maybe a couple of years ago, this is the right number. But this is just a lot. And I don't know. Carolina's like still trying to win games weirdly. So, I'll take the Carolina Panthers. You know, Carolina Panthers coming off of like Baltimore's not getting that full, you know, advantage on the bye because Carolina played on Thursday night and whooped the crap out of the Falcons. I'm going to regret this when PJ Walker is like 3 for 16 with 2 interceptions. But Washington, Houston, what a game this is going to be.
Arjun? Yeah, I have Commanders -3.
Same here.
That is what I made it as well. And it is Commanders by 2.5, -2.5, -114. So this probably does get out to 3. Arjun, are you going to take Commanders -2.5?
Yeah, it pains me to do it, but I think I kind of want to, and I think I am. I mean, Commanders, like, they're going to be on a short week, but like, I just think their run defense is going to kind of stop Damian Pierce, who's kind of been on a tear all year. They kind of have the trench advantage on both sides of the ball, even if Jerry Hughes is kind of playing, you know, 10 years younger than his age. I like the Commanders in the spot, and I think they should probably get at least to 3 at some point.
Yeah, I like the value before it gets to a field goal. They've been playing some good football. Top 10 in both offensive and defensive EPA the last, you know, second half of the season on early downs. You do get the Taylor Heineke experience, which is always a priv, always a journey. But Houston, I'm not even sure Houston's trying to win football games, frankly, which is probably smart. You know, unlike, you know, you mentioned the Colts, you know, Ursay's team building, a.k.a., you know, landing elite quarterbacks, you know, generational talents. So, yeah, I'll join you, Arjun. Why not?
I could see little Houston +8.5 teaser leg. Looking at some of the teasable lines out there, I think you can make a case for Tennessee out to 8.5 on Thursday night. A little Commanders-Titans combo. And then you've got both Buffalo and Philly that you can tease down to 2.5. I think my favorite there is Buffalo down to 2.5. Vegas goes to Denver. In my notes, I just wrote that, like, this has got to be the one, right? Like, whoever loses this game is taking an obscene amount of money home with them and not having to go back into the office the next day. This is going to be incredible. I saw that the Denver Broncos, if they had averaged 18 points or scored 18 points in every game this year, would be 7-2. Obviously they are not 7-2, came off a bye and scored, was it 10, 16 points,
whatever
it was. Yeah. Absolutely incredible. Very good by them. Arjun, what do you make this?
I have this Raiders +3.
I had Denver laying 1.5.
Ooh. I have Denver by 2.5, and it is Denver 2.5, but -115. Arjun, so, doing here?
Yeah. So it's trending 3, it seems like, and I think I just can't get myself to bet on the Raiders. Like, that is just, it's just such a weird team. They're not going to have any of their, you know, without Waller and Renfro, I don't really trust this offense that much. The weird thing about the Broncos is going into this game against the Titans, they were one of the best teams at limiting explosive plays. I think they'd only allowed a 30-yard pass in 3 of their 9 games or something. And somehow the Titans, with one of the worst group of skill position receivers you could have, completed like 2 50-yard bombs on them with Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. So the Broncos are just in a weird spot also. I thought over the bye week they might have some marginal improvement on offense. Just didn't. So I just don't think any side is bettable right now. And like George said, whoever loses this game is, probably getting the can.
No, all jokes aside, I think because the Broncos ownership obviously is, you know, the richest owners in the game, I do think if they lose, I think they might fire Nathaniel Hackett. I think Mark Davis just can't afford to pay, the money for Josh McDaniels. So as much as he probably should, you know, it should be a loser doesn't get on the plane type of game. Denver, not only did they score 10 points, it was on a busted coverage to Jalen Virgil. Like, they didn't actually sustain a drive the entire game. No Amani Hooker, no Christian Fulton, no Jeffrey Simmons, no Bud Dupree. And they still quite literally didn't have a single Russ Wilson took 6 sacks for 39 yards against the defensive line that's missing everyone. I mean, they are so bad. Jerry Jeudy's probably not going to play in this game. They said they avoided disaster with his injury, so probably not a season ender, but I don't think he plays. It's maybe a spot again where under 41.5 is intriguing because Russ holds onto the ball for forever. His tackles, he is down like to his fourth and fifth tackle at this point, I think. This one is, you know, talk about teaser legs, teasing Raiders up to 8.5. Yeah. I like a lot.
Yes. I'm going to go Raiders. I think Raiders and Titans is the one I like the most. I'm a Houston. Houston, I also like. I don't know. I think my reason I like the Titans a little bit more is that I know they're at least trying to win these games. Houston is liable to just kind of lay an egg. But I love Raiders out to 8.5 in a game where weirdly I expected the total to be below 40. It's not. It's like 40.5, 41. So kind of surprised me. So I'll put that one down. Vegas and Tennessee. Dallas, Minnesota. Good game here in Minnesota. Arjun, would you make this?
I think I'm going to be off on this one, but I had this as a pick.
I did as well.
Okay, I'm going to be off on this one. I have Minnesota by 3. It is Minnesota plus 1.5.
I think you had that's an auto, right?
It's a half to.
At least for George.
Help me, I guess, why is Minnesota not favored in this game?
I think it's just the whole, like, they're kind of fraudulent, one-score wins, eventually going to regress back to the mean. But you, like, George, you kind of said it last week, and, like, that's kind of why I took some Minnesota money line, like, late in that Bills game. Like, one-score wins within a season can be sticky just because, like, random shit happens. Like, teams just find a way to win within a season. Like, they do things that teams aren't prepared for. Now, granted, like, they should not have won that game. No. They got stopped at the one. But I think, I don't know, maybe we shouldn't just be saying Vikings are going to regress to the mean. They may fundamentally not be a top 5 team, top 7 team or something. But, I mean, they're finding ways to win games regardless, you know, if we like it or not.
Yeah, so, you know, my guess also is what I was going to say is, I mean, interesting is this week we all had Dallas. They was it 5.5 when we guessed last Sunday, and it closed at 3.5, which, you know, of course, didn't make much sense to me and came out to be true. I think the same is going to happen here, where I wouldn't be surprised if Minnesota is favored by tip-off in this game. So I'm taking that the Raiders spread we like teasing them. So Raiders out to 8.5, Vikings right now up to 7.5 before I think it gets below, you know, that number.
Yeah, I'm with you there. The only reason I don't love that teaser, I mean, I do like it quite a bit. Total there, 47.5, obviously going to be a much more high-scoring game than you'd expect, you know, Tennessee, Green Bay, or Washington, Houston to be. But yeah, I think I'm with you. I think I'm gonna have to take it and probably tease it as well. And it makes no sense. I get that. I just said this. Like, Minnesota probably didn't even deserve to cover the game against Buffalo. But Dak Prescott. I mean, I know CeeDee Lamb messed up his route, and that's why one of those interceptions was thrown. Like, that's not a good thing. It's like great that, like, CeeDee Lamb didn't run the route correctly and the quarterback threw an interception. And plus, you'd expect them to get Zeke back in this game, which means they're going to be less explosive from running back perspective, and they'll probably try and run the ball a little bit more in this one. No one's going to be able to cover Justin Jefferson in this game. Same story. Yep. different day, no. Same story.
Although CeeDee Lamb plays a ton in the slot. We've talked about this a bunch. The Vikings mm-hmm. can't cover the slot, no. So he might also go off as well. But like you said, Dak just doesn't look – he had a fine second half, but he just doesn't look the same right now. I see them winning. I just don't think it's going to be by more than a touchdown.
Yeah, with you guys. Cincinnati-Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh, last of the afternoon, late afternoon slate. Arjun?
I made this Bengals -5.5.
Same here.
I made it 6.5, and it is 4.5.
I don't think Ja'Marr Chase is playing though, right?
Yeah, that's probably the reason.
So Steelers had, in my opinion, the best game plan against Joe Burrow of any team outside of the Cowboys this season. I think if you're the Steelers, you just hit copy paste from your game plan in the preseason and run it back. Like, you have TJ Watt back, you should have the advantage on the defensive side of the ball in the trenches. You sit in that cover two if hopefully Minka comes back from his appendicitis. But Steelers defense looked pretty good today with Watt back. They're going to be at home. Without Ja'Marr Chase, defenses can kind of just key in on T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd, shade of safety towards their side. So it feels like a lot, but I mean, I can't take Steelers +4.5. I hope it gets out to like 5.5, 6.5. But I think the Steelers have a legitimate shot to like be competitive in this game.
So the report today was that Minka will not play in this game. He's
expected no way he's playing
multiple weeks.
If he had appendicitis today, he is not playing in this game.
Yeah, and he was the difference in that first game. You know, again, it was a week one. What do you have? Two interceptions and the blocked field goal, whatever it was. And I think that's the big thing is that, you know, they play a ton of – he actually plays some man, but, like, right now because their injuries, like, they're playing a lot of zone on the back end. And I think shading Minka over – to T. Higgins' side would be huge. You'd shut him down. You know, they have good slot coverage, relatively speaking, in Pittsburgh for Tyler Boyd. But I think without Minka, and also T.J. Watt is worth like 2 spread points by himself. He was ridiculous today. I don't know. I'm inclined to bet the Bengals here. Pittsburgh's very, very, very bad. I mean, they were bottom five in pass rush win rate and pressure percentage before T.J. Watt came back. They were bottom five in EPA per play allowed on defense before he came back. Like, are they that much better to where they're going to beat the Bengals off a bye without Minka Fitzpatrick? Like, I don't know. I'm trying to talk myself into it, but I can't get there.
The scary thing is that you mentioned TJ Watt, and I agree with you. He's so phenomenal, especially against the Bengals, who, you know, with Lyle Collins over there. I mean, that, like, that's not going to be good. And it wasn't good the first time that they played at all. Oh, I'm off it. Yeah, it's tough. I think if Ja'Marr Chase were playing, I'd take it. That worries me a little bit. It's tough, though. I mean, Cincinnati's a better team. They have their offense has figured it out a little bit. And Pittsburgh got the benefit of playing Andy Dalton in a game where he thought it was in prime time. So, this one's very close to me. For me, I'm gonna not do it, but I think it's a worthwhile one if you're out there looking to bet. I do think this gets out. I think this definitely moves closer to 6 or 7 on Sunday night. Thanks to the flex, it was going to be Cincinnati Pittsburgh. It's not Cincinnati Pittsburgh anymore. It is Kansas City in Los Angeles against the Superchargers. Arjun, your Chargers back in prime time once again. Which means you'll have the wonderful opportunity to watch them as a big underdog again.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of big underdog, I have Chiefs -7 in this spot.
I had 5.5.
I had 6.5, but I knew Arjun was going to make it a full 7. I knew that was going to happen. I could see it from a mile away, and he's right. It is 7, Chargers +7, -114, so maybe closer to getting closer to 6.5. Arjun, what are you doing with this?
I think if it gets below 7, I'd consider it. I'm not taking it at 7. Weirdly enough, Chargers, you know, they actually play tough with the Chiefs. They're 4-1 in their last 5 games against the spread against the Chiefs, with the lone game being that overtime lost last year where Chargers probably should have won it if they converted a fourth down. It's a tough one because I don't know the status of Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. It seems like Collinsworth is talking about how Mike Williams is ahead of schedule, and Mike Williams versus Kansas City Chiefs is like a revenge game narrative for some reason. It's one of those like game narratives that you shouldn't bet into too much, but like you should consider it, I think, a little bit. But yeah, I think Chargers are just so beat up right now. And I mean, Chiefs are coming off a pretty convincing win against the Jags. So laying off at 7, we'll probably take if it drops below.
I really want to bet the Chargers plus 7 here. I mean, They showed a lot tonight. I mean, we mentioned how maybe Shanahan wasn't super creative, but I also think they just did a good job on defense, which was surprising. I thought they were going to get gashed up front. I thought they played well. They've been doing a lot of different things with Derwin James. The thing, too, though, is Kansas City's not going to like out physical them and like run the ball down their throat as much as other teams can and do. Isaiah Pacheco had his 16 carries for 80 yards or whatever today. He was feeling himself, but I don't know. I think Keenan Allen is finally back for this one. I almost wonder if this was kind of the game he was holding out for. You add in that Mike Williams nugget that maybe he's ahead of schedule. I'm doing it. I'll go full touchdown. I'll take it.
Yeah. I'm riding with you. I'm going with you here as well. Herbert looked a lot healthier to me today. I think Chris talked about that a little bit. They felt like he was finally getting healthy. Derwin James is still an absolute savage. The only thing that gives me a little bit of pause is, you know, you had the fumble that they recovered. They had Shanahan kicking in a couple of fourth down situations. They also had the block punt in that game and still should have lost by 7. But, you know, I do think at least one of those guys is going to come back. And here's the thing. They're 5-4. This is a divisional game. You know, what are you holding those guys out for? Like, it's the AFC. You're not going to just walk into the playoffs here. You kind of got to bring these guys back, I think. So I'm going to ride with you as well. In Mexico City, Monday Night Football, it is San Francisco and Arizona. This means Joe Buck only has to fly from Cabo to Mexico City. This would be a nice little commute for him. I'm guessing Kyler's going to be back for this one, Brad. Is that correct?
I think so. Yeah.
I would guess. Arjun, what do you make it?
If Kyler's back, I made this Niners minus 6. If he's not back, I made this Niners minus 9.
So I assumed he was back. He tweaked the hammy. It was interesting. It was on the new Hard Knocks in season. He tweaked it during the game, finished the second half against Seattle. Was a little bit limited, but like he played the game. He wasn't terrible. I was kind of surprised he didn't play today. Obviously, Colt McCoy, like you said, I think that the drop-off to Colt McCoy was not as big as Stafford to Wolford. Anyway, long answer short, I had it 5.5, but that's assuming Kyler does play.
Yeah, I assume Kyler is going to play as well, and I had this at 6.5, and it is 7.5. The Niners are favored. Which is interesting. Arjun, what are you doing with this?
I just don't think you can bet it right now. I mean, 7.5 kind of indicates to me that, like, even Vegas doesn't really know who's going to start, right? Like, yeah. I feel like it would have been on either side of like 7, or like if Kyler was playing, it would be on, I think, the other side of 7. So I think this is kind of a layoff spot for me. And I mean, I don't think I'm going to bet it either way if Kyler's playing or not.
Yeah. The issue too is like, because it's a hamstring, I mean, I probably talk about this ad nauseum every week on this show at this point, but he's not going to be 100% necessarily. And against the Niners defensive line, you need to be 100% healthy and able to, you know, run around like a toddler who stole your iPhone or whatever the joke is about Kyler. So yeah, I'm staying away as well, but I'm off by 2 points over the 7. But yeah, I'm going to stay away.
Yeah. It's interesting that the Cardinals did this last year where, you know, they won a couple games with Colt McCoy and they're like, yeah, we'll keep rolling with him, you know? And I could see them kind of trying to do that here, because if Kyler's not 100%, if he has to sit stationary in the pocket, it's over. It's completely over. Even with Kyler in the game, I think this is a fairly big mismatch. I like the Niners in it as a teaser leg here. Thinking about a couple of other, you know, opportunities to tease, you could tease Minnesota. That's plus 7.5. You could tease Vegas. That's plus 8.5. Houston plus 8.5. Tennessee plus 8.5, and San Francisco to minus 1.5 in Mexico City. And in a game today where, yeah, they didn't have their best stuff, but they will certainly be sent a message. Like, Kyle Shanahan's not going to walk into this to practice this week and be like, hey, congrats, guys, nice win. And he's going to light into him a little bit. So I like San Francisco to come out and get the W here. So I will put that down as a teaser leg for myself. Any that particularly stand out to you guys this week that you like a lot, Arjun?
I kind of like our Bears bet at 3. I think.
Justin Fields homecoming to Georgia too. Going back to Atlanta, trying to show out for the people. Come on now. I mean, that's what he's all about. It's JF1 season. Come on, everybody knows it.
Trevor Lawrence wasn't a nightmare today. They got blown out by Kansas City, but we do need to continue to revisit. The draft narrative about Justin Fields was absolutely ridiculous. And he still has nobody on that team. It's not like he's getting better because they Chase Claypool is not the reason that offense has started to figure out.
He still was barely used today. Like they're still not, he's not fully incorporating the offense. Cole Kmet had 2 touchdowns today. There was one busted coverage where he was just wide open. Yeah. But like I said, Fields made a bunch of throws today. It was not just running today. I'm obviously guzzling the Kool-Aid over here, but I like them against Atlanta.
Alrighty, we will write up our favorite bets. You can see those on the PFF app and PFF.com. If you're listening to this on Monday, they're already out. If you joined us live, we appreciate you. Thank you for hanging out, being a member of the Printing Press. We'll be back with you on Wednesday night with our double Seth episode, Judah Fort Gang as well. And of course, Sunday nights, we'll be back with you next week. Thanks for hanging out. Have a great week. Peace.